Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. He is Big Joe. I am Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier has the day off. Parker Kelly in for him. We say hello now to our favorite, John McClain, down in Houston, joining us, and he's presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. John, how you doing?
I couldn't be better, guys. Fired up about started college season, and in 2 weeks, the start of the NFL season.
I am intrigued by a game. We were just talking about it. Friday night, Auburn takes on the Baylor Bears down in Waco. I think that could be interesting.
Baylor, over the last six games last year, had a six-game winning streak after their starting quarterback, who was a stiff, got hurt. They had to bring in their backup, Sawyer Robertson, who had transferred from Mississippi State after he'd gone over there to play for Mike Leach. And Robertson was great, ended up with 28 touchdown passes, I think six rushing, and they averaged 40 points a game when he was the starting quarterback. Then they lost in the Texas Bowl to LSU and Nussmeier, and but Baylor's got almost all their players back. So we're fired up about him, and I know Freeze is on the hot seat, and they've already sold out every ticket. It's a blackout night in which the uniforms will be black. I can't remember many openers in which there's been more excitement for a Baylor game. A lot of it has to do with SEC. The next game they play at SMU in Dallas, but this one in Auburn has piqued the interest of Baylor fans across Central Texas. The fact it's the only game involving the Big 12 that night. So they've got RG3 has gone from ESPN, where he was laid off. His contract's up. Now he's signed with Fox, and he'll be doing the color on the game. So we are fired up about it.
Yeah, going to be fun for sure. So it is not fun for general managers and head coaches right now across the NFL. It's always the hard part of making the cuts down from 90 or 91 in some cases to 53, which they have to be at by 3 o'clock tomorrow. Any surprises out of Houston to this point?
I'll tell you something. Everybody gnaws on their fingernails over the cut to 53 when 16 of them can be re-signed the next day. To me,
True.
It's not nearly as big a deal as it used to be when there was no practice squad and the 53 was the 53. And, of course, if you want to put a guy on injured reserve, you got to keep him on the regular roster before you do it. And the probably the five – or six last spots will be turned over immediately. And the Titans should have the biggest turnover because they get first dubs on every single player who is placed on waivers. And they probably, well, I know they have. It's like the draft. They have every possible cut at every possible position. And when they're available, they got to make a decision. They'll have 24 hours. So it'll be very fun for the Titans to have that. The Texans had it one time. I think it expires in November. So that's why you can expect a lot of roster changes for the Titans. As far as the Texans, their starting lineup's already set. I could pick all but maybe a couple. I always love it the way coaches talk about that last game being so important for some of the roster spots. And I'm like, give me a bleeping break. Number one, they've been working on the first game. The Titans coaches have been working on the Broncos for weeks. And you tell me that if Brian Callahan and Mike Bergonzi and their staff has had their players every day in meetings on the practice field for walkthroughs, on the practice field for normal practices, rookie minicamp, veteran minicamp, and they didn't know who's going to make the team. There ain't no way. But they can't say that, of course, because they want all their players to play hard. They want people to try to get excited for that last game. But they know who they're going to keep, and they know a possibility of guys being waived for other teams that they may want to claim.
What did you think about Terry McLaurin's three-year, $96 million deal that he signed with Washington?
Oh, my God, I was shocked that Terry McLaurin signed before the season. Just totally shocked. That's another one. They always – that's like I expect Micah Parsons. Either he's going to sleep through it on a table on the sideline, sleep through the season, or he'll sign. I think they'll get it done. We knew McLaurin was going to get done. It was just a matter of when. Usually in this situation, you compromise. The team has known for weeks they're going to compromise at the last minute. They need the player. The player needs them. And the player and his agent, the agent's told him the strategy, look, at last, when they compromise, we're compromising. We'll get it done. That's what they did.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, Chase and I were talking earlier about getting out there. If the Titans need to get a backup quarterback to Cam Ward, if they're not happy with Brandon Allen or Trevor Siemian. We talked about when you get a guy in here now, John, it's like you think, well, you got 13 days for the next game. But don't they get like 4 or 5 days coming off for Labor Day? I just think it wouldn't be advantageous to go out and get a backup quarterback because you got to learn all the terminology and all that stuff. Just stick with what you got right now.
Yeah, and unless there's somebody they really like who becomes available, that's probably what they're going to do. Now, they've seen Allen behind the scenes like nobody else has seen. He's been around. He started some games. He may be fine. But if some quarterback is out there because the team thinks, okay, we want this guy to be third, and we're going to plan on putting him on the practice squad, they can claim him. They can sign guys off the practice squad. But usually if you have a veteran and he's smart and he has been around, those guys can come in and learn the system, the basics in no time, and they'll cram and they'll work 24/7. That's why you've seen so many guys sign during the season. But and there could be a number two guy that's cut because the team likes their number three. You know, I'm sure the Browns would never lie about keeping four quarterbacks. Excuse me. But Kenny Pickett hadn't been able to practice. Dillon Gabriel looks really good compared to Shedeur Sanders, who was horse, you know what, in his second appearance, and Gabriel got better. There's a reason they drafted Dillon Gabriel over Shedeur Sanders. They thought he's a better prospect. So I think unless the – you know, what if it was some backup from Cincinnati that was surprisingly cut and you got a coach familiar with him? That would be different. But right now it looks like they're going with Allen.
John, what's the last team that carried four quarterbacks active on a roster? Because if you picked any team in the National Football League that would do this, you would say the Cleveland Browns. I mean, I just think that's chaos up there.
Joe, it is chaos up there. C stands for chaos. I can't remember it. I'm sure it's been done, but I just can't remember it. And I haven't seen anybody writing about it on social media that's looked that up to find out, but it is rare. Of course, you know what they say, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. In this
right.
case, you got five and you don't have one. One, Deshaun Watson, will never pay. Think about what they're spending on that position. And unless Dillon Gabriel or maybe Shedeur Sanders at some point makes them think that they're the future, they're going to be in a market for a quarterback in what should be a really good draft for quarterbacks next year.
John McClain is with us. We'll have more with him coming up next, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. Here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. And, John, you mentioned Micah Parsons earlier. I mean, I still want to believe, yes, they're going to get something done before the season starts. But I've been watching the Cowboys documentary on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's very well done. I've enjoyed it. And I don't know what Jerry's thought processes sometimes, and seeing kind of how it was back in the day just furthers that. So I don't really know what the agent, what's coming from the other way either. So I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked either way if they don't get something done before the season.
I'm telling you this, guys, I'm sick of the Cowboys. Absolutely sick of them. I feel sorry for all my friends who work in the Metroplex who have to talk about this 24/7, have to have it on every sportscast, have to write about it constantly. I feel bad for Brian Schottenheimer. That distraction is the last thing he needs. Now, Parsons is under contract. I thought he made a fool out of himself in the game, lying down on the table on the sideline, not wearing a jersey. I thought he acted like a childish kid. And, of course, Jerry's made a fool out of himself from the get-go. Now, if it gets done, it'll all be roses, and they'll be, you know, kissing each other on top of the head. Everything will be fine. And Parsons, I would imagine, needs a little time to get in football shape since he hadn't been participating in drills. As far as the doc, it's great. There's like people say it's a PR infomercial for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. And I thought the most interesting thing about it was the overriding Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson relationship and how it affected the franchise. And a lot of people, they say they still don't know who was responsible for the Herschel Walker way. Jimmy Johnson had it in his contract that he had all, personnel. He had final decision on all personnel. When we went to Key Largo, Florida, 3 months ago and interviewed Jimmy Johnson for our documentary on high school football in Texas before integration, he walked us through the whole thing, how it came about, the ramifications, everything. But Jerry, I think, has talked so much about him being responsible for it that he actually believes it.
Well, and I'm curious too on that, the because I just got to the part where Steve Beuerlein, he plays Steve Beuerlein because Troy gets hurt, and then he keeps Beuerlein in, and they lose the playoff game, and then it kind of felt like, you know, they had the cut of Jerry saying, I pretty much told Jimmy after that we're building this thing around Troy, and that was that. I don't know if I firmly believe that either.
Absolutely not. Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson have been incredibly close for a long time. When we put Jimmy Johnson in the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, Jerry was not there. Jimmy made cracks during his acceptance speech about how far it is from Waco to Dallas on a plane, about 5 minutes and about an hour drive. But he walked us through everything. And one of the things he said is when early on he coached and Jerry was up in his office working on oil deals and ways to make money, and they were terrible that first year. Then they were 9-7. Then they won the Super Bowl. At one point, Jerry came down here and said, man, I want to be down here with you on the sideline. This is where all the action is. And Jimmy knew he's in trouble.
Exactly with that. Talking to John McClain on the Chasing Big Joe Show. John, kind of an overview now once the preseason's done. Give me a team out there that you like, not necessarily one that's going to win the Super Bowl, but one that you like, front office, head coach, team kind of coming together that you're keeping an eye on.
Well, there's all the big ones, of course, that consistently win. And I love what Sean Payton did with terrible salary cap limitations last year. And some people are picking them to beat the Chiefs in the AFC West. And I'm like, why? Chiefs went 15-2. But the one I like that's in the wrong division, and I like what's going on with the Raiders. I like Pete Carroll as a coach. Pete's only had like two or three losing seasons in his career as a head coach with USC and in Seattle. You know, he wasn't a bad coach with the Jets and the Patriots, but they have the guy, Ashton Jenny, I think will be offensive rookie of the year. They got an experienced quarterback in Geno Smith. They got some skilled position players who can play, and they got a good defense led by their pass rush. And I don't think they're going to win the division or make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to go winless in that division. I think the division winner could be determined by the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. You know, we had Tyler Lockett on a few weeks ago during training camp. He played for Pete in Seattle for many years. And we talked off air about Pete. I'm like, you know, he's 70-something years old. He's like, that guy's got more energy than a 25-year-old. I mean, just the way he talked, John, about Pete Carroll made you realize how many of these players have such a high affinity for Pete Carroll.
He's always been known as a player's coach going back to when he took over for Bill Parcells, and he's still that way. And whatever pills he's taking, I wish I could find out and take the same ones, because he's a year older than I am, but I feel like I'm 20 years older than he is. But that's why, you know, you root for Carroll. He got fired in Seattle. He didn't like it. He sat out a year, taught at USC, and now he's doing the thing he loves, and I think everybody wishes that Pete Carroll would have success.
So you say Ashton Jeanty would win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I don't know if I necessarily disagree with that, but in your mind, what does Cam Ward need to do to either, you know, pass him or be in contention? Is it as simple as winning?
Well, they'd have to, you know, win 8 or 9 games, I'm guessing, and he'd have to play really well. He wouldn't have to throw a lot of touchdown passes, but if he didn't throw a lot of interceptions, you know he's going to run for yards because he's such a good runner. But I think they would have to win more games than they're capable. And I think Ashton Jeanty, because he's going to get the ball so much. And running back is an easy position for rookie quarterbacks. I mean, for rookie players, where quarterback is so much more difficult. That's why you don't see a lot of, now you see some, like Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud the last 2 years, but they turned out they had more talent on their teams than people thought. And maybe it'll be Cam Ward. Maybe he'll surprise, because nobody thought that about Stroud and Daniels as rookies, that they had a chance because they both took over bad teams.
Yeah, I know. People keep bringing that up, and I'm like, with this team, the things around him, I'm just – and like you said earlier, the roster's going to change so much. That's where – it's just so hard to figure out right now.
I believe, Chase, that if they double their win total, people ought to be excited about the direction the team is headed.
Yeah, 100%. I would agree with that.
John, before we let you go, with a week and a half now for the season starts, Chase and I talked about, you know, moving the season to 18 games and all that. You said a few weeks ago that the NFL would never move up to Labor Day weekend again, correct?
Yeah, they've now, when they got off of Labor Day, the TV ratings were not good. It started in a hole, and especially from where they ended up the previous season. Always it's like you're behind in a race and you got to overcome the people in front of you. So once they didn't play on that weekend, the ratings were great from the get-go. Now, maybe now they would be, but there's no reason. They're going to have 2 bye weeks, and there's no reason they couldn't put the Super Bowl in April up against baseball's first season openers if they wanted to. Because teams that host the Super Bowl, when Nashville gets a Super Bowl, after the new stadium, they'll have to play a season in the stadium before they're going to have a chance to get one, but they will have to keep the entire month of February, all the hotel rooms, everything has to be available for the Super Bowl. And the reason that was put in eventually is worried about disasters or floods or hurricanes or tornadoes. So they could play any time in February. And the truth is, because they're the 800-pound gorilla, they could play in any month. And it's like the people are panicking that they talk about playing in London. You think that's going to keep them from watching the Super Bowl? I don't think so, man. But that's why they've got to have 2 weeks off. If the players don't demand it and get it, they're nuts. And I always thought it was great. The NFL's so worried about injuries and concussions, and yet they want them to play more, which makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And it's all, of course, what makes sense is it's the color green.
Of course it does. Of course it does. John, thanks as always. Great stuff. We'll actually have some games to talk about next week. Looking forward to it.
Well, I hope it'll be those fighting Baylor Bears pulling that upset over Auburn, which is favored 2.5. Guys, thank you very much, as always.
John McClain joining us here on the program, as he does every Monday at 2 o'clock, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW.
You know, I was looking at that AFC West. He's talking, what a loaded Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers. Just a loaded division. And then underneath there, the NFC West with the hapless Arizona Cardinals.
I know. They're weird. They've I don't know how to read them.
You know, for so many years, the Cardinals were in the same division with the Cowboys and Reds. Never got anywhere. And then now in the NFC West with the Rams, Niners, and Seahawks. Just nobody talks about them. Nobody wears their gear. Nothing.
Yeah,
you never see anything.
The AFC West, I mean, hypothetically, you know, you could see all 4 teams.
Oh, yeah.
Get in. I mean, I think the Raiders are going to shock some people. And I think that Kansas City is going to come down a little bit. not necessarily out.
Well,
but
it's going to happen, right?
Because the division's better.
You know who's been surprisingly quiet?
Who's that?
I'll tell you after the break.
All right, you do that. The Chase and Big Joe Show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. DVD coming up in about 30 minutes. And, of course, we'll have What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays to end the show as we always do.
Been a fun show today, man.
It has been a fun show.
Now we wait to see who the other – they have 21 more cuts to go. Is that correct?
I was told there'd be no math, but yeah. There's a lot of math. We'll go with that.
So, yeah, they got 16 out of the way. Nobody's really shocker except for the guy from Tulane, Jaquan Jackson.
Yep, he's out.
He's gone. Across the league, Cam Akers got cut by the Saints, but nobody that really massively like, oh, my God. But so the one team I was going to tell you that's been quiet that I thought would be chaos during camp, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one.
Quiet, no Rodgers, this or that, none of them demanding this. I think they could be really, really good. I think they could be really good this year if everything obviously comes together. But I think he wants to go out, this being his legacy. And he's got a great shot with Art Smith, pretty good defense, got some talent around him at receiver. Aaron Rodgers could have a nice year.
He's just got to – I mean, he's got to show that he's still got something in the tank. And it sounds like he's basically said this is probably it. So sometimes when they do that, it's like I want to go out in a blaze of glory. So, yeah. You know, he'll leave it all out there. So they might.
The last – I mean, I remember when Elway quit after the second Super Bowl. It was – he could have come back for another year or two, but he that would have been his – 16th year, 83-98 would have been 16th year in the NFL. Go out on top.
Go out back-to-back. Like, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Just be a champion and ride out. I'm trying, who else has done that?
Because he came back after they finally won it because he felt like they had a really good shot to win it again, right?
And they did.
Yeah, and they did.
And they beat the Falcons down in Miami. But, like, people forget Jordan didn't hang it up. Jordan came back for the Washington Bullets, Wizards.
Right.
You know, he just couldn't stay away from it. I mean, you go out after winning 6 and 8 years with the Bulls in 98, like Elway, just go out in that same year. But he just wanted to come back, and now it's like, that last year.
Here's an interesting theory about kind of what you're talking about the AFC North. I think on paper, everybody kind of feels like, all right, Cincinnati's going to bounce back. Last year was kind of a weird year. But – they're going to have to, I mean, especially if they don't get things worked out with Hendrickson, they're going to have to score 35 because they're probably going to give up 34.
Like last year.
Yeah, so there's that thought. But everybody kind of, I feel like, feels like Cincinnati's going to be better. This could be an MVP year for Burrow. And everybody thinks then Baltimore is also going to be good in that division. And then who knows about Pittsburgh and Cleveland will be terrible. Is there a chance that one of Cincinnati and Baltimore go the wrong way?
Always, yeah. I mean, it could happen quick, here and there.
Could Lamar maybe start to regress? Could Henry finally hit the wall? Like, I mean, those things are certainly, I think, possible.
I need
to look at their schedule.
If
too.
The Ravens get beat, in that, I think Lamar needs to get to a Super Bowl. I mean, there's a lot.
I don't think
he
ever will. I really don't. I don't think he ever will.
It just shows you how hard it is to get to a Super Bowl. It really does. All that happening that goes on, and the competition's tough, you know, and then you got to run into Buffalo or Kansas City or Cincinnati sitting there looking at you. I just think that he's some time to – he's got to get there to make that next step.
Here's their schedule. At Buffalo on Sunday Night Football, week one.
It's Baltimore?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Cleveland at home. Detroit. Monday night, week three, at home. At Kansas City.
Good Lord.
Houston at home. Rams at home. The bye is week 7. Bears at home, week 8. At Miami on Thursday night, week 9. At Minnesota, week 10.
Gosh.
At Cleveland, week 11. Jets at home, week 12. Cincinnati on, I think this might be Thanksgiving, week 13. Pittsburgh at home on week 14, at Cincinnati week 15, New England at home week 16, and then at Green Bay week 17, at Pittsburgh week 18.
It's like playing the SEC right there. Good Lord,
that is not an easy schedule.
No, and everybody's going to give you the best shot because you got the best quarterback in the game with Lamar sitting there, at least the best dual threat quarterback that's out there. So you know what's going to happen every week, man. And so, I don't know. It's I know Harbaugh won it in 12, but he's had a lot of talent. And this is – I mean, is there a window? I'm not a big window guy going out there, but there's a they got a loaded team. If you don't win it now, I don't know how you don't win it going forward. I mean, it's going to be really tough.
I mean, like, the window's closing. The window is closing. And then
but the Bills, man.
Well, let's look at their schedule. I mean, I kind of feel like their window's closing too. Let's see. Their schedule, Baltimore at home, at the Jets, Miami on a Thursday, week 3, New Orleans at home, New England at home, at Atlanta on a Monday night, week 6, their bye is week 7, at Carolina, Kansas City at home, week 9, at Miami, week 10, Tampa at home, week 11, at Houston on a Thursday night, week 12, at Pittsburgh, week 13, Cincinnati, week 14, at New England, week 15, at Cleveland, week 16, Philadelphia, week 17, the Jets, week 18.
Not a bad schedule. Get those some of those teams at home in late December, early January up there in Buffalo.
And the Week 18 game is the final game at Ralph Wilson.
It is.
And they're going to wear the red helmets.
I love the fact they are not moving into a dome stadium. I think
it's
great.
I love that too. But how about that? Last game, they're going to wear the old red helmets.
Solid.
I love that.
It'll be good. I mean, it'd be. I think that's, again, a lot determines with injuries and momentum and what goes on, but that schedule's a lot easier than what you see with the Baltimore Ravens that's happening there. But, again, you just got to be as good as the other, better than the other three teams in your division, and you get to the playoffs. And that's what I look with the playoffs. That's what I look with the Titans is, like, all this that's going around the league should be better than Houston, Colts, and Jags. You should be better than the Colts and Jags. Then you see you can take down Houston.
Yep.
God, the AFC South is terrible. Just terrible.
Right now it is. I mean, that could change.
Just bad.
I haven't found, like, you know, every now and then you kind of have that team where you look at them going into the season and you go, huh, they might surprise people. I mean, maybe Pittsburgh, but.
I think anytime you got a quarterback.
Maybe the Raiders, not Oakland, but Vegas. Maybe the Raiders.
Well, I mean, Geno's second career, you know, the Jets, it was terrible with them. Got this opportunity now, and he had it in Seattle. Now he's on his third team. And all it takes is, you know, you go through the fire and you – Sam Darnold, perfect example. These quarterbacks – and that might happen to Will Levis down the line. You never know how this could turn out to be. But that AFC West is tough. It's fun. And, you know, in the back of your mind, you're still thinking about Brock Bowers being here because they could have had him.
I know.
Right? And that'll drive you crazy, thinking about players that could have been here. Go that 2017 draft. And where Mahomes landed, and the Titans took Corey Davis 5 with Adoree Jackson at 17.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, even if you did just two what-ifs, like if the Titans had taken Amon-Ra St. Brown instead of Dez Fitzpatrick, and if they had taken Brock Bowers instead of J.C. Latham, what would that look like?
You're right. It'll drive
but
you
again,
crazy.
It changes everything because Cam Ward's probably not here.
Cam Ward's not here.
You're probably in a completely different –
I still think the flip 6, had that not happened,
yep.
Titans win that game,
yep.
Cam Ward is not here.
And Will Levis is probably still the quarterback.
Amen.
Yep.
God, it's so funny how things just go a different direction. For sure.
7829 says, what if Lamar regresses? Literally a perennial MVP candidate. I mean, it does happen sometimes.
Well, it just shows that you have to have 10 other guys around you. Elway couldn't get there until they got a running game and got a hell of an offensive line.
What on earth would lead you to believe Lamar won't make a Super Bowl? He was literally a dropped pass away from playing for it. Guess what? The pass got dropped.
They were not. They were not. That was a divisional game. The championship game was the Chiefs and the Bills.
That is correct. And he has.
How about this? Throw better pass.
Yeah, and he's choked a few times.
Yeah, it happens. But it shows
that's,
you
that that's what I'm basing that on.
Football is a team game. You'd be great all day. Archie Manning was a great quarterback in the NFL. He was surrounded by terrible players. They sucked for years with the Saints. People were like, Archie should be in the Hall of Fame. No, he shouldn't. His numbers are terrible because he was Archie Manning.
Oh, yeah.
He was surrounded by bad players. He's a great quarterback. That's why I love football. It takes all 11 to get there. This isn't the NBA.
There's a guy on Twitter that's mad at you.
Who is it?
Big Joe, Jeremy. Big Joe, get it right about Jordan. He came back only because he donated every game check to the victims of 9/11. Do some homework before using MJ as an example.
Why did he come back?
I have never once heard that.
Me neither. He came back because he wanted control of Washington. That's what he got.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he had a part ownership in it. Yeah. I mean, that may be true about 9/11, but I have never heard that.
Same here as well.
So, I'm just saying. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll be there back at Kitchen Notes on Friday. Looking forward to that. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. Presented by Jared Companies, Inc., their commercial plumbing and HVAC division covers all refrigeration, service, and maintenance needs. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards. You got it today, JoJo.
All right, gentlemen, what day is it? It is Instant Ramen Day. Ramen noodles.
Oh, I like ramen.
David Jane's favorite.
Yeah.
Is it? I love ramen noodles. It's also National Kiss and Makeup Day. National Motorist Consideration Monday. So be nice out there, folks on the road. It's impossible to do that in Nashville. Also, it's National Banana Split Day. Remember one day, Chase, you split your pants, and we're like, oh.
I've never been a huge fan of the banana split.
Same, either. National Park Service Founders Day. Chase, what's your favorite park? Cedar Hill?
Yes.
I love this day. National Secondhand Wardrobe Day. Parker Kelly, you wearing some hand-me-downs, aren't you?
Nope.
Ah, whatever, man. Finally, National Whiskey Sour Day. Chaser likes some good whiskey sour.
I do.
He does. All that. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You got to get these birthdays within 2 years. Here we go. Our first, Parker Kelly, you ready for this game?
I am ready. I'm not going to go 0-for today.
Okay. Yeah, you've had some really bad showings. If we might have to drop you down to the double A if you don't get this done. All right, our first birthday today is the very talented Gene Simmons. How old is Gene Simmons today?
Hiram. He is 78.
He's 76.
76, exactly.
Nice.
Parker's got his love gun out. Elvis. Elvis Costello.
Who?
Exactly.
I know Elvis Costello, but what's his first name?
Elvis.
Elvis?
Costello.
Oh, you're not doing it. So he's not the Elvis from Memphis.
Man's guy stole my name one time. I said, man, put a cease and desist on that, my name. Sorry. Focused.
Elvis Costello is 77.
I'll go 72.
70. Parker's up 3-0. He's feeling good, Mike. Who else? Who's this guy? Tim Burton, the great director Tim Burton, who did Edward Scissorhands.
68.
65.
67. Chase on the board, 3-1. Billy Ray Cyrus. How old is our good friend Billy Ray Cyrus?
65.
62.
64. It's now 3-2. Chase battling back. The very handsome, debonair Blair Underwood.
Player Underwood. I don't know who that is.
L.A. Law was in Deep Impact.
Oh, okay. 62. 63.
61. Chasers battle back, tied it at 3. Rachel Ray.
Ah, Rachel Ray. 49.
47.
57.
Wow.
Claudia Schiffer, the model.
48.
50.
She is 55. Okay. I know who he is, but y'all probably don't know his name. See who else here? My computer a little slow. Blake Lively.
Also from Gossip Girl. I'm going to say she is 36.
41.
38. Chasers storm back, taking the lead 4-3. Actor Tom Skerritt was in Top Gun, Steel Magnolias. Yeah.
72.
Jeez.
Lead singer of Judas Priest, Rob Halford.
74.
78.
74, exactly. Chase up 6-3. He's had 6 unanswered there, Parker. Let's see who else.
Got to stop the bleeding here.
You got to. Let me see.
I'm going to stomp a mud hole and walk it dry.
Country singer Jody Messina.
A friend of the show. We're going to make her a friend of the show.
That's right, we are.
Jody Messina, I'm going to say 56.
I'm going to say 64.
55. The Chasers on a tear. 7-3 right now. All right, let's see. Sports Times. Raleigh Fingers, former Brewers middle reliever, or Brewers reliever.
72.
75.
79. One of the best linebackers of all time in the SEC, Cornelius Bennett. Biscuit. How old is Cornelius Bennett?
64.
62.
60. Parker's back up. 7-4 now. Albert Bell.
Albert Bell. The baseball player Albert Bell?
Yes, sir.
58.
61.
59. Chasers up 8-4. Robert Horry. Bama great. Yeah. Won 87 NBA rings.
57.
58.
55. Chase up 9-4. Marvin Harrison Sr. Man, I threw a lot of touchdown pass that guy back in the day. I was open and said, go deep. I said, Marvin, just go deep and shut your mouth.
I'm going to say he is 51.
54.
53. Parker is close on that one. It's 9-5, our last birthday. Justin Upton.
Former Brave. He is 39.
42.
38. Chase hits double figures. Wins 10-5. It's very rare air, man, when you get double figures. Well done.
Bam. Thank you. That is going to do it for us today.
Hey, I hope everybody had a great weekend. To our guys out there, it's a message we've been on for 2 years. If you're struggling, please reach out, talk to somebody. Just know that our world is a better place because you are here. You are so loved, and what you're going through, I understand some days you have dark clouds, but as we tell you all the time, thunderstorms always run out of rain. If you need help, go to our website, thegamenashville.com. Click on the Chase and Big Joe Show. There you'll see a link to Unity Psychiatric Care. Please talk to somebody. Please get the help. As we've said, our world's a better place because you are here. We love you and want you to know, more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD is coming up next. We're back at it tomorrow at noon right here on 102.5 The Game.